Are you chasing your own dreams or someone else's? Keep listening to find out.
All right, Snack Attack crew, assemble. Feeling that mid-afternoon slump? Need a protein boost that doesn't involve boring protein bars? Well, let me introduce y'all to my new favorite obsession, Wonderful Pistachios. Y'all, these little green guys aren't just your average nut. They're protein powerhouses, packing a whopping 6 grams per ounce. That's over 10% of your daily value. And here's a confession. I used to be a cracker. You know, the kind of girl who enjoys the satisfying pop of opening each one. But let's be honest, sometimes convenience is king. And that's where their no-shell options comes in perfect for on-the-go snacking. Plus, they come in flavors like chili roasted and sea salt and vinegar, so there's something for everyone, even the picky gals. But here's the kicker. Wonderful Pistachios are a complete protein, meaning they have all 9 essential amino acids your body needs. So next time you're feeling sluggish, ditch the sugary treats and grab a handful of these green gems. I promise y'all, they will keep you fueled and feeling your best, whether you're conquering carpool duties or crushing deadlines. And seriously, these are my go-to snack. I keep a bag in my purse. I keep one at the office. I even stash a few on the side of my bed for those late night cravings. This year, I want you to treat yourself to something delicious and good for you. So head over to wonderfulpistachios.com and explore their amazing flavors and sizes. Trust me, your taste buds and your body will thank you. With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom? Let me tell you about mylifeinabook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, mylifeinabook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom question you wish to ask. And then she can either type her response or record her voice, and mylifeinabook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. Imagine discovering stories about her youth, adventures, and the challenges she's overcame. This book becomes a legacy and something you and your future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm so excited about mylifeinabook.com because I'm planning on gifting my mom with this. She's always loved reflecting on memories and sharing her stories, and I know this will be the perfect gift to capture those moments for her. The thoughts of her flipping through the pages and reliving those cherished memories brings a smile to my face already. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code BRAVADO at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com. Use code BRAVADO for 10% off today.
Welcome to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast, your weekly fix for all things mental health and wellness. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Germany. And not only are we besties, but we're your besties. You heard me right. It's homegirl vibes here.
Get ready for the girls to dish the real, the raw, and the fucking funny.
And listen, we may drag you, but it's always in love. Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, boogies.
How's it going? How are you feeling today?
I'm feeling very good, actually.
Really? Yeah. What's the word?
I am.
Bird. Bird is the word.
I'm feeling peaceful. Peaceful? Yeah, I'm feeling peaceful. I'll elaborate in a bit if you want to share your word. I can elaborate now.
Do it now.
I just feel a little bit more grounded, more centered. So the girlies over on Patreon already know, but I'm getting certified in breathwork. So I'm going to be a breathwork practitioner. And I've had to practice every day. And you know, that's different. That, you know. That's different for me, y'all, because girl,
I know, because you didn't have it like I didn't have a meditation practice.
Yeah,
practice.
Exactly. Right. I didn't have a practice. So I have to do a morning practice and an evening practice.
Ooh, so an hour.
36 minutes. Yeah. So like I usually do like about 30 minutes of breath work and then anywhere from like 10 to 15 minutes of meditation.
You get up earlier?
I don't get up earlier, but I've had to figure out my routine because, you know, some days I go to the gym in the morning. Girl, the first day I was like a red turtleneck.
Listen,
I said, how am I? But I figured like I have to have all my stuff laid out because I'm on a crunch, y'all. My morning is already occupied. So I have all of my shit laid out for work. My lunch is already packed.
It takes preparation.
It takes a lot of preparation because about 40 minutes in the morning are dedicated to that when I get back from the gym. So I shower.
Have a full morning.
I shower, get ready, girl. I be on the balcony.
What time
like,
do you go to the gym?
5.
You go to the gym by my house?
Yeah, the only
day. I need to start going with you.
Come on. Oh, I thought about that, but then I was thinking with your new schedule, come next week.
I wake up at 6.
Okay, no.
I wake up at 6:30.
I have to get up earlier. I get up at 4:15. I get up at 4:15.
Oh, hell.
Out the house at 4:45. At the gym, 5. Gone at 6. Back home by 6:08, because you know I'm a down-to-the-minute girl. 6:08, in the shower, 6:15, out and oiled up at 6:30, doing my breath work.
Okay.
But you should come. Maybe. Try it out next week, maybe.
Yeah,
once
give me a little time. That brings me to my word.
Yeah, what's your word?
I would say energized. I'm feeling energized.
It's charged up.
I'm feeling energized. So last week was a red turtleneck week for me as well, mm-hmm. because I started a new job. And for the past 4 years, I've been working from home, y'all. I've had the luxury of working from home, not having to commute into the office at all. Very, very rarely. A couple of times out of that whole 4 years.
3 or 4 times during the pandemic.
But things have changed. Period. And I'm having to get into that traffic every day. And it's been an adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
But the work environment, like the culture, when I get there, I feel good. Like the people are cool. I've already learned a lot. So.
Period.
I feel energized because of that. The traffic is not energizing me. It's actually doing the opposite. I don't like how much of my day is spent in that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I know.
It's really a time suck.
Hopefully, once you get to your like high risk schedule, implementing that, it'll be like a nice break. You know, it's like you don't have to do it all the time. Mm. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
But make sure y'all drop how you're feeling in the comments, because I've seen a few words come through.
You have?
Yeah, I have. Some people have
said hopeful. Oh, yeah, I've seen hopeful. Yes.
I've seen a few words, so drop them in the chat.
Yes.
Something else that I want to do, we're going to put the poll over on Spotify. I was thinking about how we can ask how we can poll. We mentioned this a few episodes back, or maybe last week. Some girlies want us to get right to the episode, right? They wanted to give NPR TED Talk.
Right.
Some girlies like for us to
Kiki, we just did.
Kiki, like we did, because this is not just a podcast for you to get information from. It's also two best friends who just happened to podcast. So there is a little element of us, you know, being friends on air.
Yeah, on this.
But we do want to provide you content that you find valuable and value added. And we want to give it to you the way that you like. So we want to take into consideration your preference.
Right.
Do y'all want us to kind of limit the small talk, the banter, the kiki, and get right to it? Or it's like, nah, do y'all thing and, you know, we gonna...
It's okay as it is.
We gonna vibe the way we vibe. So that poll will be on Spotify. Even if you don't listen on Spotify, you can still take the poll over on Spotify.
Okay.
Please. We would love the feedback. Or we could keep talking. Shit.
No. It's fine. We're here. We have
meeting. Well, actually, something else. I'm really looking forward to hanging out tonight.
Yes, we are going to therapy. Okay. Karaoke.
Yeah.
We love karaoke,
yeah.
If you don't already know that. Karaoke, it's very therapeutic, like just singing the songs. I've been trying to figure out what songs I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing some different songs.
Oh.
But I probably won't, but it's just the act of
singing
and having a good time and sharing energy with your homegirls.
With your homegirls, yeah, it's going to be a good time. It's been a minute since we went out. I feel like it's been a good minute.
Yeah, probably I can't remember
before
when.
Before the
New Year. Galentine's,
but like to karaoke.
Yeah, karaoke's been a while.
Yeah.
Kayla's birthday.
So before the new year. So this is going to be great.
Quarterly therapy,
singing some good songs and having a good time amongst good girls. So today.
Excited. So today that brings us to what we're here to talk about.
Yeah. What you're here to listen to.
What we're here to talk about. So we have told y'all that we are in a season of thriving, not just surviving. Mm-hmm. We're in a season of thriving. So that's what we've been doing here. It's been a consistent theme that has stretched over the past like 3 months, honestly.
3 months. We now just keep finding shit to talk about.
Now we're into the fourth.
Yeah.
So that is the theme of the year. I know y'all are used to the podcast seasons being broken up by the month, but this has been a theme for the year.
Which honestly, I feel like is something that we're all really leaning into. It's something that we're leaning into and finding new ways to thrive. I feel like before, it's just kind of just morphed a little bit. And I feel like it's grown. It's matured. I feel like the concepts of what we're talking about now when it comes to thriving are a little bit more refined. And,
oh, yes. Yes. You know, we've definitely gone deeper into the vault. We've gone beyond the surface. I mean, at its core, a lot of the concepts are surface or simple. But we're going deeper and really unpacking and figuring out the why.
And I feel like it's more about application.
Yes.
Maybe we're just also in a season of applying. Because every time that we talk about something here, I'm able to use it in my real life. And I think about it and I'm like, oh, hold on. Is this this? Is this that?
Same. This has been a big application season. Mm-hmm. Ever since we had that conversation where we told ourselves we going to stop the complaining and start the doing.
Yeah.
Because we were in a cycle of consistently talking about, I'm so tired of this. I hate this. And I got tired of it.
Yeah. It's like, what are you going to do about
it? I got tired of hearing that song.
Yeah.
And the application has been applied. We've been in a big application era.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love it. Are we ready for today? Today. So, y'all, this stumbled upon my desk, as you would say.
Came across your desk.
Came across my desk. And like to your point that you were just mentioning, a lot of concepts feel so simple. But when it comes down to applying them, it's like, whoa. And I feel like this is one of those things. So today we are talking about mimetic desire.
Mimetic theory.
You said it's fancy?
Yes.
It sounds fancy. It's really simple and it might be hard to do, but we're going to do it together. Mm-hmm. But it's really simple. So mimetic desire, y'all, is the tendency to want what other people have or desire. And again, so simple because that I feel like is the basis of our lives. Looking to the left, looking to the right, observing what other people have and then deciding, yes, I want that for my life.
Yes.
And recently, so you just mentioned you got a new job, which congratulations, kudos.
Thank you.
This has been a conversation that we have been having collectively about advancement.
Exactly.
Right? Advancement in various aspects of our lives. And one of those is career. So how can we do more? How can we be better? How can we find more fulfilling career paths and do more, right? So that's been a conversation. And Brittany was fortunate, blessed enough to get a new opportunity. And I found myself being like, okay, now I need to look for a job similar. Like, okay, now I figure out what, you know, titles and roles and things like that. So now I'm applying that to my own life. And we were talking about a few, you know, nights ago. And I was like, yo, I really had to check myself as I'm like getting my LinkedIn set up and applying for jobs. I have to check myself and consider what it is that I want, what type of job that I'm looking for, what type of roles. And it's easy to be influenced by the person who is closest to you, which is Brittany. And right now she's in this season of like entering a new chapter when it comes to her career.
Right.
And I had to remind myself, like, although you want to take the same leap and have the same experience, just be mindful of mirroring the people who are closest to you and making sure that what you want is really aligned with your own values, right? And I feel like that's a real life example of how this shows up. And I don't think it's anything for us to be afraid to explore or afraid to admit, you know, because sometimes you kind of struggle, go back and forth with like, but putting words to our experiences or concepts rather to our experience really helps us create a tangible understanding that we can move and grow from.
Definitely.
That's what I wanted to do.
Definitely. And ensure that we're operating from, like you said, the most authentic space. Because what can happen is you can get what you think you want. That's when the feelings of discontentment come up and you're wondering, I thought I wanted this. Why do I not feel satisfied? Why am I still feeling like there's more than I need?
Mm-hmm.
And it can be because of this. So when this came across Germany's desk and she put it on my desk,
from desk to desk.
Right. When she printed it out and put it over my desk, my mind was blown because, again, it's something that's simple in theory. And I'm like, oh, I can get it. But it's like, first of all, I never heard of mimetic desire, heard of desire, didn't hear about mimetic desire. But it's something that made a light bulb go off because it is something that I've resonated with. Mm-hmm. It's something that does happen with the people that are closest to you and even people that are just close in proximity, maybe not like close in actual relationship, but because of social media and just the type of world that we live in, this is a real thing. So
it's going to get good, y'all.
It is.
We have so much to break down. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I'm most looking forward to you all gaining a lot from this episode and sharing with us how much that, oh my goodness, y'all spoke to me. You spoke to how I feel.
Right.
Because that's how I felt. As we were like reviewing and researching and doing all the things, I'm like, yes, yes, yes.
That's how I felt too. So this concept was developed by a 20th century French anthropologist by the name of René Girard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Who saw that human desire is not individual, but collective or social. That is how this comes around. So Renee stated that man is the creature who does not know what to desire. He observed that individuals often look to others to help them determine their desires, and he termed this phenomenon mimetic or imitative desire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how this phrase came to be from this anthropologist, Renee. So when it was broken down, it really made me look at the word desire differently.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me personally, I know that a lot of my desires have felt like innate and natural.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It feels like, yeah, I desire this. And it's because this is what I'm supposed to desire.
Interesting enough, even Renee or Gerard, we'll use them interchangeably,
yes,
explained that our perceptions of like goodness in our careers, our lifestyle, vacation, a lot of that is picked up from what people have modeled for us, right? It's like, oh, that's a standard. Or I see that, like Tulum, right? When that dropped on it, when that came across everybody's desk, it's like, oh, now I know that that's a good place to go. I'm going to go after that. Or a specific...
Now it's Japan.
Yeah, everybody's in Japan. Everybody's in Asia. And something else that Gerard said, and speaking to your point where you feel like desires are innate, is that, and I have to quote it, y'all, because it was really good. We would like our desires to come from our deepest selves, our personal depths. But if it did, it would not be desire. Desire is always for something we feel we lack, right?
Now that blew my tracks back. When I heard that desire stems from something we lack.
Yeah. And you're always chasing it. It's not like joy. That's why it's not like, oh, I feel joy when I get a thing. When you desire a thing, is you have to keep reaching for it. Desire is meaning that it's never fulfilled. It's always in process. It's always in progress. It's this constant reaching, you know, striving, doing. Desire is really tricky, and you have to manage it and be mindful of it, because there is a downside, and we will explain it. But, you know, when you really start looking at it and breaking this shit down from a philosophical space.
Yeah.
And it's like, uh-oh.
And so often, like I said a couple beats ago, how I said that I feel like my desires are natural, something that feels like, you know, mm-hmm, innate, mm-hmm, authentic. I got shut down again by Renee because he said that it feels like desire is something that we ourselves can control,
mm-hmm,
but it's quite the opposite.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean? What do you mean I'm not controlling it? I have a feeling in me, a yearning in me for these things. What do you mean I can't control it? I feel like I can't control it. If I don't want it, I don't want it. If I want it, I want it. But according to Renee, he says that it's not something that we can generate or manufacture on our own. It is largely the product of a social process.
Yeah.
Again, the whiplash, like we talked about with discovering your own taste and
yeah,
the digital detox, about how we're so influenced,
mm-hmm,
in such a society that operates together.
Yeah.
Even our thinking and
even our upbringing.
Yes.
Like, right? You think social as opposed to like in your home. There's certain desires that you feel like they might be more innate than not because of your social upbringing, programming as you were raised. But yeah, desires are something that is not just like in the core of you. It's been influenced somewhere. And we'll get into it. So for the basis of our conversation, y'all, we think that it's very important to distinguish between needs and desires, because you might feel like, oh, I need that thing, or like your desires are something that
you're so strong. It feels like you need it.
Yes. But it's so different. Right. So although there are driving forces in our lives, we have to understand that the urgency also makes them different. So we'll break down needs. Needs are essential for survival and well-being. Right. They're fundamental requirements for our physical and psychological health. Right. They are non-negotiable.
Without these, we cannot live.
Yeah, they are non-negotiable.
I need you.
And they must be met for us to function properly. To survive. Are you going to say that?
I need you to survive.
Yes, you need needs.
You do.
Uh-huh.
So needs are also universal. So the basic needs that we have are a need for food, water, shelter, sleep. These are all common things that we need regardless of our background, mm-hmm, our culture. None of that matters. You need these things. These are essentials.
Yeah.
We're calling them essentials.
Yeah. Also, y'all, they are psychological and safety based. So Maslow's hierarchy of needs.
I love that. I love that.
Places basic needs as the foundation, right? There are so many things in this hierarchy, but the basic needs are the foundation, and those focus on psychological needs for survival and safety, for security and stability. We have to have those things for us to feel safe and secure.
For sure. And without those things, we can have some serious consequences.
Yes.
Illnesses. Mm-hmm. Distress.
Mental health.
We're torn up.
Yeah.
Without our sleep, our food, our stability, we're not in a place to get and obtain those other things that we need that are higher up mm-hmm. in the hierarchy.
Yeah.
If I'm not fed.
Baby.
If I have not a roof over my head. I don't want to talk about self-actualization and, you know, purpose and all that. I need to eat.
Stomach is touching rib cage.
I'm hungry. I'm cold. So those are needs.
Yeah.
Then we go on to the desires. So desires are our wants and wishes. These are the things we simply want and wish to have, but they're not necessary or essential for our survival. We'll be okay without them, but they represent our preferences and our aspirations, the things that if we had them, they would enhance the quality of our
lives.
Yes. I know I have an apartment, but if I have floor to ceiling windows and
it'll hit different.
Exactly.
Desires, y'all, they're individual and varied. So desires are shaped by our personal experiences, right? Our values and our cultural influences. So what one person desires might not be what another person desires. And that's okay. We have to really come to terms with that. Everybody desires different things based on their own lived experience.
Right. And we should, at least.
Yeah.
Sometimes it starts to feel homogenized, like we've mentioned on here before.
It'd be giving twin.
Where have you been? Okay, so speaking of the Maslow's hierarchy of needs, our desires can be connected to our higher up. There are things like love, belonging, esteem, like I mentioned, our self-actualization, feeling like you're your fully realized self.
Yeah.
Those are tied into our desires. It feels like growth and fulfillment because, like I said, it is fulfilling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't need it to live and survive.
I know. But it feels like that. And that's why when we don't have our desires fulfilled, we can feel disappointed.
Yes.
We can feel let down. We can feel less than because we're frustrated.
Yeah.
But our survival is not threatened.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, as long as we have those foundational needs met, we'll be okay. But I know I can personally, and this has probably been the majority of my story where I'm feeling like I'm feeling down. I'm what the fuck? I'm not happy. I'm discontent. It always is having this conversation tied to my desires.
Yeah.
My basic needs have always been met. Yeah. I've never gone without. I've always had food. I've always had shelter. I've always known where my, thankfully, where my next meal is coming from. My issues have lied in the desires.
Yeah. So here's an analogy for you all. When you think about needs and desires, think about a house, right? The foundation of the house is like the essential elements that make it habitable, right? Electricity, making sure that the shit ain't falling apart.
Stucco, what they call it, drywood. Drywood.
I thought you were saying popcorn. When you said stucco, I thought you meant popcorn. I was like, some of us know
that. Popcorn ceiling.
But you know, the things that make it habitable.
No ceiling.
Yeah, make it livable, right?
Right.
But the desires, on the other hand, are like how you furnish it. The paintings, the decor, the vibe, the incense, the modern.
Yes.
The desires are what make the house more comfortable, more of a personality, more, you know, enjoyable to live in. But they are not strictly necessary. So if you had your home and you didn't have the couch that you want, or you haven't been able to renovate or to put a new rug down, that is completely different from
popcorn ceilings.
Yes.
Or if you have on TikTok, they're dragging the girls for having the wooden cap, the brown wooden cabinets. Why? Dude.
We got to get off social.
We have to.
We have to get off social. And I really hate that. I hate that we live in this.
And guys, my cabinets are brown wooden, so I'm not laughing at. I'm laughing with.
Right, right.
I'm laughing.
The call is coming from inside. That's so fucked up when I hear that. Because who are we? And when I say we, I mean society at large. To make somebody feel badly that we don't have whatever the new cabinets are.
Right.
Like, girl, what the fuck?
The most modern cabinets. Right. I have cabinets and they're stocked.
At least I have.
With my needs.
So here are some more examples. A need is eating a nutritious meal to fuel your body. Mm-hmm. A desire is eating at a specific restaurant you've been wanting to try.
Right. I have to get to that restaurant. Another example is having a safe and secure place to sleep. Mm-hmm. And the desire, which we've touched on, is owning a luxurious apartment place. I need
the view.
I need the view. I need washer and dryer in unit, although that damn near feels like
that. That's missing that I'm not putting up.
I need a WD in unit. I need floor to ceiling windows. I need
a 360 view.
Yes. And I also need workout
gym
facilities. You know, I need amenities. That's a desire.
A doorman.
That's a desire.
Yeah.
So I think it will be helpful for us to break down our desires, because our desires can be broken down into two categories, thick and thin. We ain't talking about the thick and thin that y'all like to slap onto those relationships. We're talking about another one. So these terms can describe the depth and the origin of our wants, mm-hmm. which is really important. And I really think the reason why we're having this conversation so that we can get down into what's really going on when we have these desires pop up in us.
Yeah. And I mean, everything is not influenced by social media.
Not everything.
Right? But it's good for us to notice when it's ours and when it's somebody
else's.
It's
good to be able to identify.
To distinguish, like, yeah, that's totally coming from me, or nah. Right. I've been influenced.
Right. And then from there, you can decide how you want to move.
And stop doing shit that when you don't have the
knowledge.
With.
Exactly. When you have the knowledge and you have the insight, you can make more informed decisions.
Yes.
Choices. You see how all this content ties together? You see,
there's a thread. You see how we, there's
you
a thread.
See how we always bring it around?
There's a thread.
We're always going somewhere. So, thick desires. Thick. With a CK, not a QUE.
Stop it.
So, our thick desires, these are deeply personal. These desires are rooted in your core identity, your values, your aspirations. They often stem from a genuine passion or interest that has developed over time. You're able to trace this back to something. It's not like impulsive. It's not something that just popped up. Yeah. It's something that's deeply rooted.
Yeah. Thick desires are also unique and individual, y'all. So they are not easily influenced by others. They are specific to you and they reflect your unique personality and life experiences. So you're thick. Hopefully some of your desires look different than.
Hopefully some are thick.
And look different than your friends, you know, or the people who are you're in community with.
Yeah.
That's important.
That is important. That's very important. Mm-hmm. Thick desires are also enduring and meaningful. So these desires tend to be long lasting and contribute to your sense of fulfillment and fullness and purpose. They're not fleeting. They're not trends. They're desires that are really meaningful to you. You know, it's something that if you are in relationship with people, close relationship with people, you can probably identify like some of their thick desires. Like, I know you're really passionate about this. So I know that Germany really cares about animals.
I do.
This girl genuinely, it's not cap. This girl has a soft spot in her heart for animals. I know that Germany's concern and passion and desire about her health.
So funny.
It's genuine. She's not jumping on she's not trying to be trendy. This girl is really health con.
You know what's so funny? Speaking about the animals, I seen a job like doing something in a veterinary, like a director or something
you
in a vet.
Thrive.
No, girl, I said I cannot see animals coming hurt and
wounded. You need to be in a more happier, maybe like something.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So an example of a thick desire would be like always wanting to be a doctor, right? Because mm-hmm. of a lifelong fascination with science or medicine. Or maybe there's a lot of physicians in your family and you've grown up in like that culture of medicine. That would be a thick desire for you, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Or desire to write a novel or a book or open up an art show or something, you know, something that's been on your heart for a really long time. You know, maybe you have it's based in your family cores or your values. Think about those things and you can connect like, oh, that is a thick desire.
Yeah, when you see like young children who've grew up singing in the church,
yeah.
And then, you know, they grow up and they still have that passion for music, like a Alex Isley.
Oh yeah, yeah.
She comes from a long family of singers, yeah, clearly
musicians.
Yeah, musicians.
Yeah,
and look at her, and even her daughter is a singer. I'm like, that's a thick desire, right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a thick desire. Okay, so moving on to the thin desires. So these are desires that are superficial and fleeting. These are often based on external influences. They might be sparked by trends, advertising, the messaging that's pushed to us, or the desires of others. Yeah. You know, seeing something and being like, I like that for them and I will like it for me too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that.
Thin desires are also highly mimetic. So we've been talking about mimetic desires, but these ones are the ones that it's like, oh, you're really influenced by the people around you. Maybe it's something that's very popular. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, okay, I can see that there's a trend floating around. I need that too, right?
And that's the only reason why.
Exactly, because either it's popular or somebody else admires it. So then you like, that's my cue that I should admire it too. And we've all been there.
Am I?
Exactly. That's exactly what this is getting.
For real. Also, thin desires, you might find that these lack a deeper meaning, opposite of the thick desires. They often lead to temporary satisfaction, followed by, you know, maybe a high and feeling empty afterwards. Mm-hmm. After you get it, like, oh, I thought I wanted that bag.
Yeah.
I thought I really wanted that It Girl bag, and then I got it, and I'm feeling like, okay, you know, it doesn't necessarily contribute to your overall well-being or your personal growth. Not to say that everything has to be that deep.
No. But
you know the things that you feel like if you got it, you will really be happy, and then you get it, and you feel like, damn, this didn't give what I thought it was going to give. Yeah. So that's the thing. You know, they could be the bag, like I said, or it can be the vacation. Like, everyone's going during the European summer, and, you know, that's what influenced you. Maybe you didn't give a fuck about Europe.
I know.
You literally didn't care. You had no pull to go to Europe, but everybody was doing it, and everybody was saying this is where you need to be for the summer. You went, and you were very underwhelmed. It's like, okay, the social media post, this is not lining up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I'm here, I'm not seeing the dirt. The Eiffel Tower's dirty. I know everybody has a different experience. Don't come over here.
Yeah.
Don't come over here. But maybe it could be that. Maybe it can be the new car.
Yeah.
That you thought you were going to feel so good in. And as soon as you drove off the lot, you're wondering, now what the fuck? Why now I'm paying $1,200 a month?
Yeah. I had actually read that this guy, he was talking about how he felt like he really wanted a Tesla. All of a sudden, this idea started coming.
I could see that.
You know, I really want a Tesla Model S. And he couldn't figure out, like, where did all of a sudden this come into my, like, awareness?
Probably
where...
seeing them every
No, he block. Said he realized that he was following somebody on Instagram or Twitter who was always talking about their Tesla, always posting pictures, always, like, raving about it. And it was specifically a Model S. And when he traced it back, he's like, oh, this exposure to somebody always talking about this thing has now created a desire in me to think that I want it. But, like, I have to really trace back, like, Which brings us to our next part of this whole conversation. Models or influencing. There's two types of ways that we are influenced, or two categories that we can be influenced. Those that are inside of our world, and those that are outside. Mm. So internal models of desire versus external models of desire. So internal models of desires, these models exist within your immediate social sphere. So these look like your friends, right? Your family, your coworkers, your acquaintances. And interactions with internal models can directly influence your desires and vice versa. Right. You guys are probably likely influencing one another. These Pardon are people. Me. Yeah. These are people that you interact with often. And it doesn't have to just be like family, friends, coworkers, acquaintances. It could be like your hairdresser, somebody who braids your hair, who you see every so often. You know, you pull up on them and it's like, girl, you got a new TV. Then all of a sudden you want a new TV. Mm-hmm. You know, you see them frequently enough to be exposed to what's happening in their world and then develop your own desires based on that.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And then we have the external models of desire. So these are people that are outside of your immediate social circle. These can be celebrities, historical figures, media representation, books, films, anything that you're consuming that will fall under this category. So the interactions that you have with these people are very limited or non-existent, because a lot of these celebrities, we ain't never met a day in our damn life.
Yeah, but what would Beyonce do?
Which makes the influence one-sided. It's not going back and forth. They're just giving and you're just taking.
Yeah.
You're not influencing them. They're influencing you. Mm-hmm. You know, they're your model, rather. Yeah. You're not their model. So the desires to be influenced by external models tend to be a little less volatile compared to those influenced by the people that we're in, like, constant communication with.
Yeah.
And, you know, this ties to a common saying.
You're the sum of the people you hang out with.
Yes, they put five. They put the number five on it. You're the sum of the five people that you spend the most time with. And this is why.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's why it's very important. Thankfully, I'm hanging around people who got it going on. Thank God.
But it could be the opposite.
It could.
Yeah.
It could.
So whose opinions and desires tend to influence you the most?
Like we just said, the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
Like I mentioned in our newsletter and I mentioned to her.
So funny.
you can't hear all of our conversations, but you could have got a sneak peek if you were subscribed to our newsletter.
Yeah.
Germany said that she was happy to be inspired by me, and I immediately said back to her that I'm inspired by her too. I'm definitely inspired by her and influenced by her. Things that she does gives me the motivation and the courage, and sometimes even the idea that, you know, something's possible for me, or yeah, like, you know, maybe I should try that, or, you know, I like that too. Yeah. I'm interested in that too. So definitely the people around me influence me the most. Now, do I sometimes get influenced by external models? Hell yeah.
Of course.
Definitely. I'm a consumer.
Of course.
So I'm influenced, but the most.
Yeah, yeah.
Mainly the people that I talk to the most, of you being at the top.
Yeah, I would echo those sentiments like you mentioned. When Brittany got her job, I was like, wow, I'm so inspired by you. You know, that was so, to see you go after it and then to get it, you know, when it right. was like materialized and it was in your hands and you got the offer, I was like, yes. Like the Oprah. Yes. I was so happy for her. And it made me feel like, see, this is possible, because y'all know I am a comfort zone girly.
Right.
I am like, oh, no, I'll do this till it works. And then when you see people doing things that, you know, stretches them beyond their comfort zone and then they get rewarded for it, it's like, that is possible. Mm-hmm. It is practical. It does make sense. And you can do it too. So to your point, I'm very influenced by the people around me. Sometimes I be influenced and I don't take action, but then there's other times where I'm like, okay, because Andres says stuff all the time and I'm like,
that's for you.
I'm influenced by you, but not I'm not influenced to make a move yet. You know, I'm like, you real bold with it.
Yeah.
You real bold with it. And I'm building up the courage to get there. But yeah, I feel like the people who are around me, I think I'm more influenced by the people around me than external models.
Definitely. I agree.
Than external models.
So when you have a strong desire for something, like when you feel that the pull, like, I want that or mm-hmm. I need that, can you usually identify where it comes from? Or like, maybe not where it comes from, but why you want it? Like, can you say, I want this and I know why?
Typically. And I'll challenge myself. Like, the other day I was like, this will look cute with some sambas. And I'm like, bitch, you only want, I had to check myself. I said, you actually probably don't even really want sambas, but sambas have been all over the place. That now it's like, oh, I can go for that tennis shoe. And I'm not saying it is a bad thing if you own sambas.
No.
But I always check myself when, like, I feel like I'm really leaning like into something trendy. Yeah, I'm like, you were not even thinking about a motherfucking sambas. And when I do like something, sometimes I can draw back. I can identify that. Nigga, I want those because I've been seeing them all over TikTok. There's so many things that I've been influenced to buy. Y'all, the Sephora sale.
Right, based girl, on I had to start scrolling past them videos fast. I'm like, because if I put one more motherfucking thing in this cart,
it's going to be my rent.
Listen.
My half.
Spending a check on this stuff.
I'm like, oh my goodness. So I usually can articulate like, oh, I've seen that somewhere. I want to try it. And I think with more self-awareness, I'm quicker. Maybe before I wasn't as quick, but now I'm like, oh, I already know why.
Same.
Yeah.
Because of our work here.
Right. The work that we do.
And I'm glad that we do the work because it definitely helps keep me in check, my coins in check. It helps with a lot.
Yeah,
there's
sure.
a domino effect because I've become better at being able to articulate it, where if I didn't have this knowledge, then I wouldn't be able to. I would just be like, I want it.
Yeah.
That's why. You know?
Would feel like it just came literally from yourself.
Yeah, because I just want it. But lately I've been challenging myself because I'm like, and also, I kind of feel like it's been a little paralyzing. Not paralyzing, but I guess a challenge, honestly. If I want something, it's so easy for me to look at what's in or what's mm-hmm. it and automatically get that. Go get the stuff. You know what to get.
Yeah.
But I've been making myself pause to be like, okay, why do you have a pull to get that? Is that something that you really want? Is it something that you're really going to be satisfied and content with and happy with, like after you spend your money on it and you have it? Mm-hmm. Or do you need to like dial back in?
Yeah, zoom
spend
out.
Spend time figuring out what you really want. Just allowing yourself to go browse. Be curious. Mm-hmm. Go to different places and see what you're naturally pulled to and then get that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I want to have more desires that stem from that because like I do feel kind of programmed sometimes mm-hmm. to just do the easy thing.
Yeah.
And just get what the girls are saying to put in the card. And you need this and you need to go here. And this is what we're doing. Mm-hmm. And that's so easy to do. I don't want to do that.
I don't want to
either. I don't want to do that. And I want to be able to articulate better why I desire something and know for sure that it's because this is something that is authentic. Not to say that everything's going to be different.
Right. No, no,
it's
no.
It's not always going to be different. A lot of the things will be the same. Mm-hmm. But, you know the vibes.
I do. And y'all do too. So we're going to take a quick break because, y'all, we've been going, going, going. For all the girls who don't like when we talk, we really gave y'all a motherfucking mouthful, giving y'all all topic for the last 20, 30 minutes.
Right.
So we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come right back. Have you ever dreamed of effortlessly conversing in another language? Whether it's for that upcoming international trip, connecting with family and friends, diving deep into a new culture, or simply adding a new skill to your repertoire, learning a new language opens up a world of opportunities. But let's face it, traditional methods like textbooks and classroom learning can be a drag. That's where Rosetta Stone comes in. As the most trusted language learning program for over 30 years, Rosetta Stone offers a revolutionary approach that truly immerses you in the language you want to learn without relying on CDs or DVDs. Picture this, you're effortlessly conversing in Spanish on the streets of Barcelona, ordering tapas like a local, or discussing the latest French designers with Parisians. So sexy, right? With Rosetta Stone's intuitive process, you'll learn naturally, starting with words, then phrases, then full sentences. And with over 25 languages offered, including Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, and Polish, the possibilities are endless. Rosetta Stone's speech recognition technology, including the True Accent feature, acts like a personal trainer for your accent, providing instant feedback on your pronunciation. Plus, with both desktop and app options available, along with offline lesson downloads and an audio companion, learning for the babe on the go has never been easier. And here's the best part. For a limited time, Rosetta Stone is offering a lifetime membership for 50% off, y'all. That's right, lifetime access to all 25 language courses for half the price. Don't miss out on this amazing deal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, BGB listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever wished for an extra hour in your day? What would you do with it? Maybe it's finding time for a run, a nap, or simply being there for a friend. But often, life feels like a race against the clock. What if you could carve out time for what truly matters to you? Therapy can be that guide, helping you prioritize what's important and make time for it. Whether it's setting boundaries, learning coping skills, or simply becoming the best version of yourself, therapy empowers you to take control of your life. When I've been called to therapy, it's been during times when I felt like I've needed to really center myself and regain control of my thoughts, feelings, and actions. And let me tell you, it has definitely helped. If you're considering therapy, consider BetterHelp. It's convenient, flexible, and entirely online. With just a brief questionnaire, you can be matched with a licensed therapist who fits your needs. Plus, you can switch therapists anytime at no extra cost. Take the first step towards a more fulfilling life with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/bravado today and get 10% off your first month. 10%, y'all. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/bravado.
Hey, Bookies, we got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR has got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure. Absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story, but now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling, but with them presenting Black stories, Black truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcast. Okay, y'all. Mm-hmm. That was actually really quick, I think.
Hopefully.
And we're back. Hopefully, bills have to be paid.
Right.
So breaks occur for bills to be paid. Now that we've gotten that out the way, we can get back into the matter at hand. So with the mimetic desire, like with any other concept, there are upsides and there are downsides. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just to refresh your memory.
Because we've been talking.
Let's just bring it back to the forefront. Mimetic desire is the urge to want what others want, mm-hmm. and it really holds a lot of weight in our lives. Okay?
Yeah.
So it shapes what we aim for, our goals, how we see ourselves. So let's get into both sides of the shit.
Yeah, there are two sides of a coin.
The upward. Yeah. Let's start positive. So one of the positives is that it can lead to motivation and inspiration. Mm-hmm. Seeing others achieve success can light a fire under our asses.
Right.
You know, it should really
get us
going. Seeing somebody excel in a field where they're doing well, seeing somebody get a certification and like seeing a roadmap and seeing they did this to get there and them practicing and them learning, it gives you the motivation that you can reach the heights that you want to reach if you apply yourself and do the same thing.
Yeah.
But honestly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can push us out of our comfort zones. I have looked at people in that way. Like, okay, so she did this and she did that and then that happened. I can do that.
Right, right. Yeah. And to your point, it also leads to social learning and innovation. So when we are mirroring other people or imitating what people are doing, if they have left out a roadmap, it makes learning techniques, strategies, putting in place techniques and strategies way more simple, right? What's that thing? Like
you walk so we can fly.
Exactly. You run into less roadblocks. Yeah, they walk so we can fly. Ran.
We run
so I can walk so I can run. Y'all get it. Somebody's moving so you can get there faster. Shit. So collective learning, it leads to innovation and progress. Think about like, if we just gonna take this all the way back, right?
Back in the time.
Yeah, before technology had gotten to the place it is right now, a lot of our survival relied on us miming and imitating the people around us, right? For safety, for food, moving together tribally. Like, you know, it's like, if I see that they go out there and they get food and they come back and they're able to survive, then guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go out there and I'm gonna do the same thing and bring back food to survive. Mm-hmm. So it's helped us like not have to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
That's what this is, you know, when you think about it like that, it's like, oh, okay.
For sure.
I know exactly what you
mean. Yeah, it makes sense.
You can lay out a path.
And it's necessary. It's necessary. Mm-hmm. That's why we're saying that it's not all bad.
No.
Some of this is necessary for survival because of the type of society that we have.
Yeah.
Another benefit of this is that we're able to build community and a sense of belonging. So wanting what others desire creates this sense of shared understanding, mm-hmm. you know,
mm-hmm.
like, okay, we gang, we have common interests, we have common goals, you're my person,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
we can relate on that. Cheering on a friend, following a proper, looking like you fit in, looking
right.
like you belong, looking
like
you, looking like you know what the fuck is going on,
yeah,
can help foster community and social connections. When we join sororities, when we join book clubs, when mm-hmm. we join tennis clubs, when we gather with our people who have the same desires as us, we feel like there's community there.
Yeah.
So that's the positive. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, I imagine if everybody was completely opposite. It's like,
do we really align?
Like, what? Hey, like, what do we have in
common?
Are
we really in community?
We search for commonalities in people. We really do. That's why we're like, what's your birthday? You're a Virgo. I'm like, I'm a Virgo. Things like that. Mm-hmm. So
There's that. There are downsides to
the dark side.
The dark side to mimetic desire. And this kind of feels like we can be off our path, leading us astray. So the first thing, y'all, is the keeping up with the Joneses trap. Okay? So we know that
damn Jones.
Our desires for what other people desire can have us in a constant state of comparison and dissatisfaction.
And debt,
right? And then we may be chasing expensive possessions, luxurious vacations, floor-to-ceiling windows, apartments that we really can't afford. We end up living beyond our means, all for the sake of, like, they out there doing it. If they doing it, then I know I can do it. I think it comes also down to this idea of deserving.
Right.
When we see people have things, it's like they deserve it and they got it and they're worth it. I deserve it too.
I know.
And then it's we have to take that part out of it, the worth part. You should inherently know your worth, right? But we can't equate our worth to things. And we can't look at other people's life and think that I deserve their life and I'm worth it. So I'm going to go out and do what they did, because y'all, we compare apples to oranges.
We really do. And honestly, I'm listening to this book called I Will Teach You How to Be Rich by Remit. Have you heard of him? He's a financial guru. It's a really good read. That's a gem right there. But he was saying exactly what you said. Like, we see people have things and we're like, I should have that. Like, we're both 35. I should have that sort of apartment right now. I should have the ring. I should have all these things. And often we don't know what's really going on.
Right.
Not to have that idea of, like, everything that people show you is not real. No. Not like that. But in a sense of, maybe you should be prioritizing retirement. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe having the floor-to-ceiling windows or the luxurious apartment, when it's time to retire, you might not have anything, you know, to carry you on, you know, to keep you going. Maybe you need to be prioritizing something else. Maybe they don't care about that. But then again, you have to check your desires. Do you want to work when you're 60-something? You know, whether it's working an hourly position or doing something to get from A to Z, or do you want to be able to retire comfortably and have your coins that you can pull from?
Yeah. And you know? I just want us to get more comfortable. I feel like the it girl eras and different eras had a moment. And labeling what an it girl is, that is to our detriment.
It's
to our detriment. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, and that's the part that I'm talking about with the worth. You know, if you got brown cabinets, you're not an it girl. Right. Is that
right?
Like, nigga, since when?
Listen, because those cabinets that I have.
I mean, we can just, whatever it might be.
I know.
Be,
and it's not okay. It's not okay.
And I'm fucking sick of it.
I'm sick of it too. And I'm removing myself from the.
Take yourself. Like that girl who was crying because she was like, I can't even create my cooking content because I don't have an aesthetic.
Live in a regular apartment.
But
right.
There are more people living in regular apartments than there are people living in high rise.
Listen,
new
there really are because
builds.
They're seriously.
We just don't be showing it.
Right. We just live in our homes.
And we just making it seem like we all live in an aesthetic life, y'all. That's not the truth.
It's not.
That is not the motherfucking
truth.
It's
just not the truth.
Show yourself. It is what it is. Damn. I got popcorn up there. If there's stucco up there, there's stucco up there, girl.
You gonna make me.
Listen. Shit.
Hey.
It is what it is. I'm saying liberate yourself. Free
for real,
yourself.
For real. Free your mind and the rest will follow.
Yeah.
Another downside to mimetic desire is that it can fuel envy and create toxic emotions that will cause you to feel resentful.
Mm-hmm.
And it can really have an effect on the way we feel mentally, on our well-being. Yeah. Envy is not a good emotion to carry around. You know, not to say that it's not natural, but it's not something to have a chokehold on you and to live in. But when we're seeing people have these desires that we want and we don't have, it can definitely cause us to have that long-standing feeling of envy. And it can make what we're doing feel insignificant, like mm-hmm. we're not good enough. Like you said, it can affect our worth. It can affect our self-esteem, and it can affect our motivation to even try.
Yeah.
And we know that ain't good.
No, envy is nasty.
Keep your eyes on your own paper.
Please.
Compare
in your
yourself
own lane.
To
Put
you.
Put your blinders on. I remember we had an episode so
run your
long
own
ago.
That was like the second episode.
It was like the second episode.
We were women. We were always women that were
And moving and shaking, trying to be self-aware. Yeah, run your own race. You got to put your blinders on, y'all. Keep your eyes on your own paper. So another downside of mimetic desire is status anxiety and, you know, pulling up these feelings that you're being inauthentic, right? Mm. The pressure to conform and attain status symbols can lead us to prioritizing external validation over intrinsic desires, right? We might end up pursuing careers, staying in relationships, getting into hobbies that don't really truly align with our passions, our own values, the things that we feel would create a sense of authenticity in ourselves.
I mean, you feel fake and like a fraud and a part.
A fake and a fraud. Staying in a relationship longer because all your friends are married, right? You're mirroring that, like, oh, we're a couple's goals. We're a couple friends.
Yeah, we're
the married couples. Yeah. And then you not even happy with this motherfucker.
Right.
You know? Or you get into a career field where you feel like, oh, everybody said they making a lot of money, like cybersecurity. You know, I was looking into that. I said, let me get on the dark web. Maybe I will protect. And then I had to say, actually,
provide.
I can't. I'm not a coding kind of guy. I'm like, actually, no, you got to set it down. You see? Because everybody on TikTok saying, this is a way. You want to make $300,000 a year? Get into cybersecurity.
I know.
And I was ready to get into cybersecurity.
Yes.
Listen. I said, wait, hold on.
And I was championing you.
Of course, because that's what a good girlfriend right. does. But the more I started to look into it, I said, this ain't me.
That's
this ain't
not
for me.
You. That's not for
this
you.
This ain't for me. So just be mindful, you know,
it's
that.
It's a thing.
Yeah, it is a thing. And we have to be very cognizant of what is influencing us, what type of things that we are going after, and do they really align with the person that we are, the person that we say we are, and the person that we say we want to be?
And listen, and it can be something small,
too. Do you want to love me like that?
It can really be something small with the hobbies, like you said. Like, if you know that you're not a Pilates girl, you don't have to force yourself to go to Pilates every week.
No.
When you know it's not your thing. Just like I haven't had to force myself to go to the gym every week when I know that it'd be hard for me. Part of it is like, girl, be disciplined. And the other part is when I have periods where I just don't want to go to the gym.
Right. I just came off of a binge like that. Like yeah, 2 or 3 weeks, know? I was like, I actually cannot.
Yeah,
go.
I'm just not.
I'm not in the mood.
But we can feel like I need to be here and I need to post it and it because this is what we're doing. This is what the girls are doing.
I know.
You know? I really checked myself with that running. I'm like, the running.
You always say that.
I know the girls are running, but I have to stop. I have to walk. I'm a walking girl. I will walk from here to there. Running, bitch. I tried. I said, let me go ahead and leave this to them. Because what? Okay.
I like the running.
I know. And you like it. You genuinely like it. I would have been genuinely miserable. Upset trying to keep up with you. Germany was like, Brittany, do the marathon with me. I said, this is something I can't do with you. I would love to do things with you, but this is one of the things that I'm your cheerleader.
You did. You bowed out.
I said, I will be your cheerleader. We will get shirts and things to cheer you on for the half marathon. And if you do the fool, the fool. But this is not something that I can be side by side with.
You did.
I cannot.
Yeah, it's so funny.
And I'm like, she's going to go make her some motherfucking running friends. Anywho, the final downside is that you can be manipulated. We can be manipulated. We often are manipulated by marketing and social media mimetic desire because they're the masters of it.
Yeah.
They use this. They know about this concept and they use it on us. The carefully curated feeds that showcase the aesthetics and what other people are doing, the perfect lives, creates the desire for us to emulate.
That's and even brands, like, right? Brands working with specific influencers.
Yeah.
They already know if we want to push our product, we need to have the It Girls are working with the It Girl brands, mm-hmm. right? And then guess what that's doing? Creating more It Girls or pushing the messaging that like, oh, this type of person works with that type of brand or
and we know that,
type
people desire to be that.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. So they use that to capitalize on our tendency to crave what others have.
Yeah.
They're working us.
They are working us.
They're working us. So before you make a purchase, do you take the time to consider, like, do you really sit with it? Like, does this align with my values and my needs? Or is it not that deep? Is it not that calculated?
It be that calculated. Most times it be that calculated. Number one, it be calculated because everything's so damn expensive.
Because I have to calculate the coins. Yes. There's a few calculations going on.
Right, exactly. I'm like, okay, do that carry the one? Does that make sense? Okay, they getting that, but I'm not. I'm like, actually, I'm not about to. One thing I'm never going to do, y'all, I'm so fiscally responsible. I'm never going to go broke on a hoe. I'm always keep a fat kitty. Take it how you want to take it. Do whatever you do with that, do what you do with it.
Quick pause. I was spending money out of my kitty And that's what we call our little...
Our fun money.
Our fun. So I was spending money out of my kitty, and the car got declined, although I have money in the kitty. So I had to call the bank to be like, you know, why...
You had to call?
Yes, because I had tried to tap you the card electronic?
Time. They didn't send
out? I didn't notice a text. And any, a text didn't pop up, but I didn't notice it. But anyway, y'all, I had to get on the phone, and it said... Are you calling about the kitty? You know, the damn, you know, electronic voice was like, for kitty, for the account kitty. I'm like, yes, kitty. The fuck? Why is my kitty? I have money in my kitty.
Y'all, I'm literally having a hot flash sweaty.
That was a random sidebar, but baby, I'm like, let's get the kitty is not kitty.
And one thing, like I said, I'm going to keep a fat kitty. Right. I'm not going to be depleting my kitty every damn month because y'all saying that this is the thing to buy. Baby, it will be calculated. I'm going to sit with it. I'm going to wait till the sale.
Okay.
But the way y'all was ranting about all of these makeup products, I said the Sephora sale's coming. And that is when I will invest in some things. But before that, hell motherfucking no.
Right.
Hell no. Do you consider if your purchases align with your needs and values?
Yes.
I feel like we'd be on the same page. Mm-hmm.
Most times, yes. Now, sometimes I get sucked in a sense of I probably do the calculation and the preparation. You know, I would plan for it financially.
Same.
But I don't go deep enough to see if, do you really like?
Yeah. Is it a lot?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll do the financial planning because I too don't like to do the impulse. I'm like, hold on, I need these coins and something else needs these coins.
Exactly, my bills.
So, yeah.
Are you able to distinguish between a genuine desire and just like a fleeting urge that's maybe fueled by mimetic desire?
Now I'm getting better at it.
Right.
Because I have the knowledge.
Baby, I call us
baby. I'm getting better at it. I'm like, I want this because I keep seeing it. I keep seeing it. But you know, I said I wanted that little Goyard tote.
Yeah.
I've been seeing hella people with the Goyard totes.
You feel like now since you said it? Because that's another thing
too. Yeah. And so now I'm like, okay, maybe that's not mimetic.
No. I think now it's just an observation. Sometimes when we see something or once we have it, we observe when other people have it more. Almost like when you get a car, right?
Yeah, now you start seeing
it. You start seeing the car all the time because now you own it and it's like, oh, I'm thinking about
it. And it's been in person. It's been in person that I've seen them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I said all that to say that I'm getting better at it. How about you?
Yeah, I think so. When you know better, you do better.
Period.
And speaking of knowing better and doing better, we would not be us if we didn't provide you with tips and strategies and tools. So we are going to take a quick break and we will be right back with tools for your toolkit.
Okay, y'all, before we get to the tools for the toolkit, I know we've been chit-chatting for a while, but we have to say this. Please continue to rate and review the show. It means everything to us. It's very important for you all to do that. You can do it with a comment on Spotify. You can do it on YouTube. You can do it on Apple Music. You can do it.
Yeah.
So do it. And also keep sharing it. We have a handful of homegirls that have been sharing the episode every single week.
Religiously.
Every single week, they are sharing these episodes on Instagram. And we've seen you and we have acknowledged you and we have told you that. Let's get some more that have that same energy.
Yeah, yeah. Something else that I would like for us to start implementing, us meaning you all, follow the show. Follow the show if you listen on Spotify. Follow the show if you listen on Apple. Make sure that you are subscribed, right? So subscribe, follow, hit the bell, whatever that looks like on the preferred platform that you are listening to. Make sure that you do it, okay?
I know, because a homegirl that I saw today in real life, a random homegirl that I met outside, she was like, I haven't listened in a couple of weeks. I said, well, we're still there.
Right.
And if you're following, it won't fall by the wayside.
Right.
If you're subscribed, it won't fall by the wayside.
So tap in, y'all. It's super important.
So, yeah.
And then lastly, you can join us at the Homegirl Hangout. It's our exclusive membership community that's being powered by Patreon. So if you love what we're doing here, then you will really love what we're doing over there. There are years of archived content, bonus episodes, affirmations, journal prompts, all of the things. So if you're looking for more, please get on over there. The link is down in the show notes.
Definitely. Okay, so let's get back to the show and wrap this on up.
Yeah, we've been going for a while.
Okay, tools for the toolkits. So we've explained this mimetic desire to y'all. We already know that it is a complex phenomenon. It's layered. But when you understand the potential and the pitfalls, you have what? The power, the tools. You have the knowledge that you need to operate differently at your highest capacity and thrive.
Period.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And make sure you're doing what you truly desire and not what you're being sold or told to desire. So, first tip, build awareness. identify the people or the models influencing what you want. This is what we have to do to better control how we're being influenced. The first step is to identify who is influencing you. Yeah. So you can ask yourself these questions. When I think about the lifestyle that I would most like to have, who do I feel most embodies it? Mm. Aside from my parents, who were the most important influences on me in my childhood? Which world did they come from? A familiar one or a less familiar one? Were they close to me, friends or family, or far away from me, professional athletes or celebrities? And then the final question, is there anyone I would not like to see succeed? Are there certain people whose achievements make me uncomfortable or self-conscious? This could be the first clue that they might be a negative model of desire. For example, someone you're constantly measuring yourself against and feeling like, you know, I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. You know, so you got to get inquisitive. You have to ask yourself these questions so that you can really identify what's going on.
Period.
Also, question the why. Mm-hmm. When you find yourself wanting something, ask yourself why. Is it something that genuinely excites you, or is it because others seem to value it? Dig deeper so that you can really get to the root of what it is that you desire. Mm-hmm. No, we're not living on the surface anymore.
Yeah, that's dead.
That's done. We know too much.
Yeah. Next, y'all. We need to explore our intrinsic motivations. So intrinsic motivations are those things that lie deep inside you. They are internal.
On the inside.
We have not seen that song in so long. They're the things that are on the inside of you. They are not external, right? So that looks like exploring your values and passions. So reconnect with your values and passions, the things that excite you, right? What are those things that motivate you? And focus on cultivating desires that are aligned with what matters most to you, right? If you are passionate about animals' rights, then maybe explore some passions or some hobbies around that. Mm-hmm. You know, if you are passionate about art, explore those things.
Yes. I'm just going to stand in a museum knowing you don't give a
girl. Get the fuck out
get
of
up,
here.
Get up and get out.
I understand. I've always wanted to be an art girly, an art seeker, fartsy girly. But low-key, that's just not me. And I love a good museum and art installation as much as the next person, but I'm not drawn to like, let's go look at art. I'm just not that girl, and I'm not going to be fake deep. Because that people are doing as well.
Yes.
They're doing the fake deep, and it's just not me. Something else that you can do to explore your intrinsic motivations is have a gratitude practice. Mm. So shifting your focus from what you lack to what you have is a game changer, y'all.
Nice.
You know, think about those things that you already have that you might take for granted. And this also helps to dispel and like repel that constant barrage of that keeping up with the Joneses energy. You know, I don't have to constantly work towards having what you have because guess what? I'm already in gratitude for what I have. I know the things that I am truly motivated by, and I'm going to work towards those things. And it takes effort, real, real effort and practice to remind ourselves of what we have, mm-hmm. that it's enough, and that you are going to work towards the things that you really want and not just because you see somebody else with it.
Definitely.
Because baby, it's hard.
It's a task. Okay, next tip. We are going to curate our environment. So coming in hot from our episode from a couple weeks back, social media detox. Consider taking breaks from social media. Yeah. Or if you don't want to take a break, you can carefully and intentionally curate your feed so that you're minimizing your exposure to things that trigger mimetic desire. We know what those things are. I don't even need to go through the list. You know who those followers are. I know who those followers are.
Yeah.
You know, we all know. So do what you have to do there. Also, make it your mission to seek inspiration, not comparison. Okay. So follow accounts of people that inspire you creatively or intellectually, professionally, rather than those that focus solely on material possessions. Buy this. You need this. Mm-hmm. This is how I clean my house. You know,
girl,
like,
all the things.
People that have the perfect, seemingly perfect lifestyle. Maybe let's pull back from those a little bit and then jump into the inspo.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so good to be inspired by people. Like one of the good parts about social media. There are so many accounts, communities that you can be a part of, and you can be inspired by people, but it is really hard. And like we said in previous episodes, to maintain your individuality and not be overly influenced and feel like you have to copy what people are doing to either get the same results or live the same life. Like, pull from it what you need. Think about it like a recipe, right? Ingredients. Pull a few things and then create your own sauce. That's what I want to encourage y'all to do. Next tip is to embrace discernment and critical thinking. So don't go just accepting everything blindly. Don't just take shit for face value. Really dig, really explore, become curious, and question the messages that you are being bombarded with, right? Another piece of this is to distinguish your own needs from your desires. We explore what the needs and the difference between needs and desires, but take a seat. Write some shit down. These are my needs. These are my desires. Once you establish your needs, then you can slowly start to implement those desires that will impact your life in a meaningful way, that will make your life more enjoyable. And that's going to look different from your homegirls. It might look different from your parents. It might look different from your colleagues. And sometimes because we are so in the matrix of life,
right,
and so, like, you know, heavily intertwined and interconnected with community, we have to step back, zoom out, go inward to really decide what those things are.
For real.
So I encourage you to sit down and write it down. These are what my needs are. Shelter, car. Then what are those other things that really will take my shit up?
Elevate.
In hand.
Elevate.
Make it sweeter.
Elevate. Definitely. Okay, final tip. Embrace your uniqueness.
This unique?
That's what you are. Yes. So we touched on this heavily in the discovering your own taste and embracing your own individuality episode, but we have to remind you, celebrate who you are. Your individuality is your superpower. That is gold. Don't feel pressure. Try not to feel pressure to conform to others' desires. Instead, embrace your uniqueness, you know, your interests, your passions, your quirks, the things that make you, you. It's honestly beautiful. It's honestly beautiful. A beautiful thing. And also, let's focus on our personal growth. Honestly, that's what we're here to do. We're here to grow and be the best that we can be and thrive and not survive. So we can do that by investing in activities and experiences that will contribute to our personal growth and fulfillment. And now we know that it'll do that, and not just mimicking what others are doing. Come on, let's stop skating in our own lives.
Right.
Let's stop that.
People are probably like, skating.
Coasting.
We say skate. Yeah. And if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Get your ass. Stop
skating. I mean, come on. Imagine that everything you're doing is a mimic.
Yeah.
Like, what? Everything you have is because somebody told you to get it, not because you even really wanted it. Like, what?
Or everything that you're doing, right? Your whole life, the whole aesthetic. Get your own aesthetic. I'm sick of seeing everybody look the same.
I'm almost sick of the word aesthetic.
I know.
But... you know, I'm almost really starting to be icked out by it. I know we call ourselves aesthetes.
Yeah.
Because I do appreciate beauty and curation. I do. But the way that we use it, the way that we use it, it is not giving curated, it's giving copy.
Copy, yeah, copy, paste.
Yeah.
Control, alt, V.
And we ain't gonna get too deep because, you know, the girls tried to fucking drag us on Instagram when we said have your own individuality. Imagine that. Imagine we're so brainwashed that people get upset.
They did, y'all.
When we challenge you.
And you know what I had to say?
To embrace your individuality.
Fuck you. Fuck you. Two times. Two middle fingers. Fuck you. Yes, be yourselves. Heavy on that.
Okay, so we had a mouthful. We had a lot to say.
We better get our money's worth.
We right.
Hope they got enough ass.
Run this episode up. Share it with your friends, please, and also just really sit with it.
It's because it was a heavy topic.
It was.
It was heavy.
Right. We had to go through. We had to touch on everything we.
And you know
on.
What? We're giving ourselves the time and permission and the space to stretch out anything. We don't have to microwave it. Everything is not going to be 30, 40 minutes, y'all. Sometimes it takes time to really.
Work through.
Yes, work through these concepts so that we understand, that we can apply, and we can be better. Imagine how you gonna sound when you pull up to your homegirls and be like, y'all know the mimetic desire.
Why are we off that? We off that. It's giving mimetic desire. It's giving that. Yeah.
Come on.
Okay, y'all. So we've reached the final segment of our show. It is time to
pick up your pen. We're dropping a gem.
So this is a portion of the show where we share things that we're loving. Mm-hmm. Things, places, ideas, you know, gems. Last weekend, I went out with a friend who was in town and her boyfriend. And I had a restaurant on my to-try list that just opened in L.A. They describe it as blending thoughtful dining with herbal apothecary. Mm. In layman's terms, it's cannabis friendly. It's cannabis friendly. You can go there and indulge.
You can eat and smoke.
So they have a dispensary there. They have a bar there and they have a restaurant. The collective is called Pleasure Med. And the restaurant specifically is called Irie. And they have amazing food. The food is so good. Mm. Whoever that chef is, they know what they're doing. The food was so good. If you want to indulge in flower, you can. You can indulge in pre-rolls, or if you want to have the infused drinks, you can. That's legal here in California. And it was just really aesthetically pleasing. The place was nice. It was a younger crowd, good vibes. If you want to go with friends, they had like a little lounge area, couches. It was really good. So if you're in the LA area, it's in West Hollywood, and you're looking for something like that, 10 out of 10, highly recommend if you're 21 and up.
Oh, it's 21 and up? You had to be 21 and over to smoke? Mm-hmm. Or is it 18?
Yeah, 21.
21. Okay, mm-hmm. Cute. There was a place that we went to many years back. It was called Lowell Cafe. Some of y'all, if you were in the LA area, what was that like? I think it was like 2019. That was really cute. And those type of places I really love. The food was really good at Lowell too. So
yeah, it was good. You'll really like this place.
I'm excited to try it. Yeah. Again, it's called Pleasure Med and we will link it down in the show notes.
Yes.
Okay, y'all, we are at the end of this thing.
We are.
A mouthful to say. We hope you listen. If you're here, like they be saying on TikTok, if you've made it this far, love you.
And not hitting 2x speed. We love you, and we'll see you next week. Bye.